a Super Funk Monday on Canuck Central. Dan Riccio, Bick Nazar here in the Kintech studio. We got intern Kieran spinning the dials today.
On the fours and the fives?
Did Arash pick this? Okay, Arash picked this. Intern Kieran, like a good intern, is just doing what he's told, right? That's how it works around here.
He's just following orders.
Who ordered the code red?
Kieran has to earn the praise, okay? Once he goes through APM music and he does the work to find something that isn't terrible, he can take the credit.
You're damn right I order funk music. You need me on that board.
It is truly a skill to be able to go into the royalty-free music database.
Oh, yeah.
And find the correct music for the vibe you are looking for.
Just fit the mood on a Monday.
Yeah, it's very a lot more difficult than you might imagine.
The weird part too. Again, I imagine these guys have nightmares about this. Of just like, I gotta find the right funk music. And you just wake, and you probably have like a library. You're like, I know if I type in funky orchestra, whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's like you've got your library of like my faves.
Yes,
of your royalty free music.
Spotify knows me very well as far as like my faves. I listen to the same like 10 songs all the time. It's pretty bad.
A lot of Pearl Jam.
Yeah. I'm pretty basic in that way. Frank Cervalli joined us earlier on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. You can Sportsnet 650 guests call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. Let's get to the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Ah! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest is that the Canucks coaching search continues, and after going through initial interviews last week, they will whittle down their list to about three or four this week, per Elliot Friedman. And that list includes Marco Sturm, as we talked about with Frank Cervalli, and, of course, Manny Malhotra, who is taking the Abbotsford Canucks on in the Calder Cup playoffs. They are now headed to the Pacific Division Finals against the Colorado Eagles to start later this week at the Abbotsford Center. And it's, we heard it last week. Irfan Gafar was first to report Marco Sturm. Saad had mentioned that he had surprised the Canucks and that he really put himself in the running for this position. The other two names, two candidates that are the Canucks could be honing in on, are still yet to be fully determined, but it's kind of clear where they're going, at least with these two candidates that we do know about for certain, Bick. Mm-hmm. You're looking at guys who are really showing well at a development level, with the eye that the Canucks, a team in transition, are going to have to be not only continuing towards competing at the highest level, but also developing some of their younger players into true NHL players.
Yeah, and if it's the model of what this regime has been about, too, right? We'll always link back to what happened in the AHL in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
This is their process. And obviously, here locally, like, we've seen the fruits of that with the success of the AHL team that's happening right now. But just as it's built over out year by year, the primary proponent of what they try to do is teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get coaches that are teachers as well, and start to build a certain level of symmetry between mm-hmm. what you're trying to do? And so if that's your organizational ethos, then you should be hiring in that same path. Yeah, the motivators are fantastic, and you need to be able to get buy-in, but you have to fit what your identity is. And if this is the path they're going down, I imagine the other candidates we're going to hear about, too, at some stage, or probably fit the same identity as far as coaches.
It's really why I don't feel like, you know, the Gerard Gallants or the Peter Laviolettes of the world are really the right option for this opening, right? Like, they are guys who are set up to be successful in a more ready-made situation. The Canucks aren't there.
Yeah. They're closers.
Yeah.
Right? Again, you bring Peter Laviolette in for one reason, that you think, hey, we're 1 to 2 seasons away from a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And
we need a we got a pretty good team. We need a quick bounce back. Yeah. Peter Laviolette's that guy.
And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, see, look what happens in New York.
It worked for 1 year, great in New York, yeah. President's Trophy, and then the next year, what happened? Didn't make the playoffs.
And again, like there can be high profile names. Same thing with John Tortorella, yeah. Right? Like I know there was a lot of thought. It's like, oh, you can really grow with Philadelphia, and I look at John Tortorella as like you bring him in for one reason. You're trying to get something over the line,
yeah,
because like, he's going to be. I don't want to say hard to work with, but like he's going to push players.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have young players, that's going to run its course at some stage. And it ran its course in Philly. And so I look at the list of candidates. And that's why I asked Frank, it's like you look at the market right now. Again, it's Seattle. Mm-hmm. They need a coach. Pittsburgh. What's their timeline? As much as you have Crosby here, Kyle Dubas has been very vocal about the timeline of what it's going to take. So you probably need someone that is going to work on players. Philly, we talked about. Chicago, like that's still a young team. All these teams feel like they're kind of targeting the same type of coach.
And that's why, you know, like the success of Manny Malhotra with the Abbotsford team, it probably puts him on the radar for other positions, right? I mean, I know he's been linked to the Pittsburgh job by Rob Rossi. So I don't think the Canucks are the only ones looking at Manny Malhotra. Like, just because he is internal to the organization doesn't mean other teams aren't looking at him as a potential head coach for their opening. But I do, I think the success that Malhotra's having at the AHL level, it probably factors in to the Canucks decision making as far as how worthy he is of being a candidate. At the same time, I feel like that work's already been done.
Like, yeah.
He should have proven himself by now, and what's happening in the playoffs probably doesn't, it shouldn't sway your opinion too much on what's happening or what Manny Malhotra has already done.
If you don't have a strong handle on your own internal candidate,
yeah,
is winning one round going to change a lot
it should.
For you?
To me, in my mind, it should.
It really shouldn't, because you've, the whole part of the interview process too is also discovering.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's some level of like, we know a certain guy and we've got previous dealings with them. But for if we're comparing Marco Sturm versus Manny Malhotra, right? Like the understanding of like, okay, what can you bring to this table and being, you know, impressed by a presentation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that you now learn about Marco Sturm. You should know what Manny Malhotra is all about. The day-to-day dealings that you have with them,
mm-hmm.
you should know, okay, we believe this is a very competitive candidate because he brings all the things to the table that we're looking for in a candidate, and that's why we hired you in the first place, and you've lived up to that billing. Beating Coachella, to me, is not like, oh, wow, that really changes the whole perspective. No, you should have been ready to make this guy your guy if he was already in your building.
This text, developing players is something that Manny has done really well. Their top goal scorer is a healthy scratch in the playoffs right now. I'm not so sure about that one. Referring to Danila Klimovic, Danila Klimovic was not even on the radar prior to this season. So he really had Danila Klimovic, you know, at the same vein, you could say that he helped Klimovic on to his best season in pro hockey to this point. So you can flip that script and turn it a different way. Yeah, sure. I mean, you look at the Abbotsford scoring list. Sammy Blais is the leader in points. Mm-hmm. I think Phil DiGiuseppe is there as well. You know, you look over at the Colorado Eagles team. I looked this up. Jason Megna is their leading scorer. So this is kind of what the AHL playoffs are. You know, some journeyman veteran AHL types tend to be the highest scorers on each team.
It's also what the previous coach, though, too, Jeremy Colliton, right? Yeah. Like, there was a lot of good work credited there. And you look over the course of this season, we're talking about 11 guys that came up to the AHL to play regular games for the Canucks this year, right? That's a credit of what's happening below them at the AHL level.
And goals isn't, as you know, Ryan Johnson has often said, and even Manny has said in our interviews with him, like goals and assists aren't necessarily the thing that they are pointing to when they're looking at how players have developed, especially at the AHL level. And you know, we saw that in guys like Linus Karlsson and some others who showed well as the season went on. Now, I'm curious on your take on this, Bick, because obviously Rick Tocchet is still a part of the story here in Vancouver. He was on TNT this weekend, didn't really say too much about the Vancouver situation, obviously. And today we hear from Elliot Friedman that it's not so much that Tocchet is being interviewed by teams, but also he's interviewing them, is what he heard from one source. So essentially, Tockett can be or is being very picky with his next potential gig. And I guess that makes sense.
Well, as we're talking about with Frank, right? It's not the most attractive job market.
Yes.
Right? There's opportunities, but it's a lot of work to make the opportunities work, even here in Vancouver. And especially on the heels of, okay, like what happens if Vegas gets eliminated? Are they certainly to be keeping Bruce Cassidy or project a year from now if they get knocked out in round one next year? Is that a job that stays open?
Or is LA making a decision with Jim Hiller?
Is LA making a decision? What's Nashville's situation come a year's time from now, right? So it's not just about, hey, can you find the best job for if you're Rick Tockett right now? It's what other opportunities open up over the course of a season, right? What teams go into next season with expectations and do they live up to the standards?
Yeah.
The Islanders, are they going to make a change? Now, I know Patrick Waugh just came in, but new regime, do they try to make a change there at some stage? And you can go through this and you can start looking at, given the turnover that happens at the NHL anyways, if a team with expectations starts flat in the first 20 games, things can change rapidly in the NHL.
So my understanding is that Tockett's salary with TNT wasn't too much less than what he was making in Vancouver. So American television pays well.
Yeah.
it's less than what he was making as a head coach in the National Hockey League, but it's not, is it more than $1 million less per season? Yeah, that's a lot of money, but not as big of a drop-off as you might think going from behind an NHL bench to the desk at TNT. So there's that. He has that opportunity to fall back on should the right opportunity not be out there for him. So I get a lot of people being like, Rick Tockett's just going to leave Vancouver and just decide to sit on TNT. And like sitting on television was a better opportunity than making $4+ million in Vancouver. It's not a great look for the Canucks, but none of this situation has been a great look for the Canucks. He's not going to Seattle. I think that's fairly obvious.
Honestly, the TV is a better outcome for Canucks fans of like viewing the optics of it all than him ending up in Seattle and Anaheim.
Yeah.
Right? Because if part of it is like, oh, you wanted to go back east, you can't then have your guy end up on the West Coast.
Yeah.
That is way worse. Right? Then it's that like, okay, this was about money.
Yeah.
Right? Let's be real.
Or, you know, like going to, you know, the Canucks offered him a lot of money at the end of it,
sure.
Right? They finally got up to a number that he would have been comfortable with.
But also clearly not enough.
And still said no.
Yeah.
Not enough to put aside some of his concerns about the position and the future of the position. But ultimately, like Rick Tockett's got options and he's using those options to his advantage right now. You know, he was in Arizona even earlier in his head coaching career with Tampa Bay. You know, that wasn't a good situation either with where ownership was at the time that he took over that spot. So he's been in rather unstable situations, won the Jack Adams in the best situation that he had been in as an NHL head coach. And so now I think he looks at it as, you know, this is my opportunity to be picky and really give myself a chance to do something special with the next job that I take on. And I think that's the way he's looking at it right now. Finally, the list of the top 50 UFAs.
How often do you do this exercise? I know Frank put out a new list.
My God, I do it so often. And every time, like, I feel like Ben Stiller in Dodgeball. Like, I throw up in my mouth a little bit, you know?
I keep wishing that, like, another name pops up. You're like, oh, right, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah.
But no, it's the same group of guys. And you're just like, oh, yeah, it's a tough list.
There's no solutions here.
No.
You know? Like, Brock Besser. We talked about it with Frank. Brock Besser. Like, let's say Mitch Marner does re-up with the Leafs. Besser is in line to get the biggest free agent contract of any forward on the market. Okay?
Say that again if you're listening along. Just repeat that. Like, Brock Besser might get the biggest contract.
Assuming Mitch Marner stays with the Maple Leafs.
Of players to change teams.
Brock Besser is in line to get the biggest contract in free agency of any forward this summer.
And I'll even say I think they shortchanged him here. So it's the AFP projection is $51 million total money.
8.5 by 6 years, which is essentially $11 million more than what the Canucks were reported to have offered Brock Besser.
Yeah, which was 8 by 5.
Which is why, as Sad has mentioned and we've talked about on the show, like, would 6 by 8 have gotten it done for the Canucks if they wanted to with Brock Besser? Clearly, that's a number that they haven't been willing to get to. And they need the goals, but do they want something different? Are they looking for different traits among their roster? That's really the only way you're arguing about this, because there are no better options in free agency. Nick Ehlers, you might say you prefer him to Brock Besser. Mm-hmm. His projection as far as contract would go isn't quite as good as Brock Besser. Not far off, but it isn't quite as high as Besser's is. And ultimately, I don't think there's a chance in hell Nick Ehlers is signing north of the border. So, as Jim Rutherford said, there's not a lot of guys. Vancouver isn't a top destination for anybody, but I also look at this list and I say, aside from Sam Bennett, there really isn't anybody I'm all that willing to go to war with another team with on a on a bidding war to make sure that I get their services, because there's nobody here that really moves the needle for me all that much, Bick.
650. This one's coming in from North Creek Dan. What about Sam Bennett? Yeah, again, what his number might be. Like, if he clips $50 million, I'll be pretty surprised.
He looks good in the playoffs, man.
But he's awesome in the playoffs.
I mean, he looked great for Team Canada.
Is he going to get more than the Nazem Kadri deal, which was 7 by 7?
Yeah.
I just feel like
it would be really difficult for him to get that, simply because his numbers just aren't there. He's a 50-point center.
His regular season numbers are not similar to what Kadri got.
Yeah.
But you can make a good case that he should get, you know, $45, $47 million, which is still a ton of money.
A lot younger at free agency than what Kadri was, too.
But Brock is, again, if you're a team that wants goals, and I'll bring up Anaheim again. Anaheim's got a boatload of cap space. They got near $40 million of cap space.
Yeah.
And I know they got to sign a couple of guys, but it's very doable.
The free agent list, not great, and just solidifies why the Canucks are in such a tough spot as far as where their summer is headed.
Okay, so does this... Again, we're talking about solutions, right? When you have no solutions, like, you've got to pivot and figure something out. Does it make more sense to shop in the veteran market and say it offers us flexibility, and can we sign 2 to 3 year deals for some guy, and you're willing to pay more just to raise the floor a little bit? Again, I don't think Brock Nelson's the most exciting name. I don't think Kyle Palmieri is the most exciting name, but do you just consider those types of players just to say, can you get us through this offseason, and it just gives us another opportunity to look at it at a different turn?
It's, you can find some band-aids in here.
Yeah,
if they're willing to come to Vancouver, but ultimately, the more I look at this, it's either trade or continuing to find bargains. And it's really hard. Like, it's easy to find bargains at the bottom of your roster, right? They did it with Dakota Joshua, they did it with Kiefer Sherwood. They feel like they've done that with Drew O'Connor, but like, none of those guys are top six players.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canucks, ultimately, they need just that. They need two of them. Maybe three, if you're really being honest about the situation and watching what we're seeing in the Stanley Cup Finals now. Into the playoff central roundup. As mentioned earlier, Abbotsford advancing to round three of the Pacific Division Finals. 2-0 series clinching shutout on Friday over Coachella, who had been to the Calder Cup Finals in each of the past two seasons. Max Sasson and Linus Karlsson scoring the goals. Shelovs with a shutout. He has made 7 consecutive starts in the postseason, and I guess rebuilding his value a little bit for the Canucks as a potential option should they enter a world where Thatcher Demko becomes a trade target for other teams this summer? It's a possibility.
I mean, how much value we talk about rebuilding?
Yeah, it would still be hard to have a ton of confidence in Artur Shilovs.
Are you prepared to be hey, you're the solid number two guy coming into next season? I think you can live in a world where he competes with someone.
Yeah.
But
you'd still have to bring in somebody
else. It's a big ask.
Yeah. They will play the top seed in the Pacific Division, Colorado Eagles, best of 5, 2 games. First up at Abbey at the Abbotsford Center, May 16th and 18th. Jason Megna is one of their leading scorers.
Keep mentioning it. Who's the coach of Colorado?
I mean, he's a Canucks killer, Jason Megna.
Is it Willie?
We're going to get more into the Stanley Cup playoffs as the show goes on. Also, Don Taylor is going to join us as well. This hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15. Served in 20 minutes or less. You are listening to Canuck Central.